AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show for your Wednesday. Good to be with you today. No Democrat of the Day. Got Stein coming up here in a little bit. And big news, in the next hour, Richard Painter in for a full hour. He'll actually take some calls, too. That's a nice get. Well done, Brett.
Yeah, definitely coming in. He's comfortable with the format. He did an eight-hour Facebook Live, which I don't know how anyone could talk for 8 hours. That's a lot.
It's a great idea not having him on my show. Good thinking. Good job, Brett. The hour after mine, fine. Fine, Brett. But, you know, good idea to avoid my show completely.
Well, I didn't receive your check.
No, that's perfectly fine. Listen to Doug this afternoon coming up here in the 4 o'clock hour. I'm gonna be smarmy guy. I'll get a photo with Painter. I'll post it online. I do want to make sure I take a quick moment here to mention something here. We have had multiple people saying, "Why don't you guys get Tina Smith on the air?" All right, I would love to have Tina Smith on the air. I have asked multiple times. Brett has asked multiple times. We are begging her to come on the air. We haven't even gotten a response from her campaign. We haven't gotten anything. It's not a no thanks, but no thanks. I mean, she, you know, clearly she doesn't really feel like she needs to talk to the audience, which is not much we can do about. I mean, if that's what she wants, I mean, we'd love to have her on the air. We want to have her on the air. I'm frantically trying to get all the gubernatorial candidates for the DFL on the air before the primary day. I mean, I've put out feelers to Klobuchar. I put out feelers. We had Richard Painter on the air before. We want to have people on the air. They don't want to come on the air. There's not much we can do about that. I can't force them to come in here and do an interview. All right. I would love to have her come on and do the senator. I have been a very vocal fan of the fact that there has been a conscious effort in the media to dismiss her. And I do not like that. I have not been a big fan of that. I have given her more than I would love to have an opportunity for her just to, and you guys have heard Democrat of the Day. It's not exactly, you know, 60 minutes at the door here.
You're not making people swear allegiance to Matt McNeil's political views.
Well, thanks for stopping on by. Hey, by the way, I've got your bank statements. I've got some questions for you. No, I mean, it's not exactly that.
Well, it's a good point, too, because I think so often in the media, people don't even say Tina Smith is the sitting senator.
She is the sitting senator.
They say it's
disturbing how much they have dismissed her. I wanted her to come on the air. Like I said, multiple people at the station have begged her to come on the air. She doesn't even return our calls. Not her, per se, but the campaign doesn't. So, you know, if you were looking at us like, well, you're in it with Richard Painter. No, we want to have it does a party good to have multiple voices putting forward their platform. That is what we do here, and we like doing it. It's just we can't have someone on the air if they don't want to come on the air. And that's I mean, I can understand your frustration with us, and trust me, oh gosh, there's a lot of things you can hate about us. I mean, shall we start the laundry list? Volume 1, Matt. That's all it says is Matt, actually. I don't know what that's all about, but no, we understand that brings on frustration. That's why there's an element to do this. This is why, actually, when it comes to the Minnesota House races, I have avoided all the races that are having a primary because I don't want to clutter up the airtime with the people that are either statewide or federal office seekers who are there. And as well as also there's a lot of people who aren't getting primary. I'm trying to get as many of these people on as possible. So Painter full hour coming up here. If Senator Smith would love to come on the air, I would love to make time for her. It is, you know, like I said, it's not exactly heavy lifting with the Democrat of the Day interview, okay? A real opportunity for you just to come on out here and put your position out there. We'd love to have her on the air. Whether or not we do before the primary, we'll have to see. 952-946-6205 if she does win. Of course, obviously, we'll continue to send the olive branches to her campaign to come on the air, as will all Democratic candidates. And sure, why not? The Republican wants to come on. With me?
Karen Housley, I don't think she's coming on the Matt McNeil Show.
So, Housley? Oh, I would love to. Does club soda really get out blood? I would be horrible. I'm just a horrible, horrible man.
Well, it's all right. Our backup can be Paul Enty to get on.
Oh, T-Paw? Well, I mean, I will do the entire interview in hot sex talk with Tim Pawlenty voice. Hi there, Tim. How are you? Are you feeling rousy today? Oh boy, let's get the listeners excited. I will do the entire interview in that voice if he comes into studio. You see, this is, we'll make headlines, Tim.
Of the three major candidates, I bet Neuberger would be the most likely to come on.
Oh, I think
of the three, Housley,
that guy, that guy. Okay, jokes aside, Neuberger, if he came on in, I don't know how nice I'd be to him. I said, let's start with your racist jokes. Let's talk about how racism. Can you tell us what's so funny about this joke? Let's break down the comedy. You're the comedy whiz, so you'd break down the comedy of making fun of black people. Come on, tell us how that works. And I've heard enough rumors about him. I don't think I'd pull many punches on that one. That would be my 60 Minutes type of interview. So, but Tim Pawlenty, come on in here. I'll do you doing your voice as a telephone sex expert in studio with you. It will be phenomenal. It will be just good times. Good times. Jeff Johnson, I'll bring milk. 952-946-6205. So I went to the Gilded Age today. I was in a diner today. Do you know that? I do go over to the Southdale area. Sometimes I go over there. There was a restaurant called a Chipotle or something of that nature. There seemed to be rapscallions in there eating ethnic food. I'm not quite sure what it was, but I didn't like the looks of it.
Remember, they referred to Hopkins residents as intruders.
Heathens, heretics, get them. Well, they're not going to be really happy with me at all, because do you know? Okay. So if you go down France Avenue between Southdale, it used to be Southdale, then it was the Galleria. And then it was the old Macy's home store, or it was Dayton's home store for many years. Was that, and then there was nothing till you went to, what was it, Fuddrucker? So it's way down the end, right by 494. It was a quarry. It was a free, when I was going to high school in the 80s, that was a quarry down there.
Wow. I can't even imagine what that would look like.
It was, well,
nothing developed there. Wow.
Big piles of sand and some big trucks. I mean, that's all it was.
Really? Okay.
A few rocks around there, but it was just a quarry. And now it's all this, it's been the Centennial Lakes area, it's all been remodeled and everything down there. On the back side of it, we were walking around their man-made pond because of course, Minnesota, you know, where are you going to find a lake? So we were walking around their man-made pond they've got there. They actually have a true mini golf thing back there. Like mini golf, like they're all greens on a golf course. It's no artificial, it's real grass.
I've played that one before, actually.
You have?
Yeah.
Wow, that is this what the good living is like? Real? They have a croquet court. Oh, I gotta go try the croquet, man.
Of course, Edina's got a
croquet court. Of course, the permanent.
They have a croquet.
Hold on. Okay, let me fluff for me a second here. Where is it? I've got the. Here it is. Here it is. You think I'm lying? Here it is. World class lawn games facility, including croquet, lawn bowling. Yes, lawn bowling. Championship caliber courts. Championship caliber. This is like saying there's championship caliber jarts. Come on, man.
It's a championship caliber hula hoop area. It's just if you're gonna be playing in the Olympics, of course.
Is what championship does croquet have? I mean, seriously, is there a croquet championship? And how white are those people? Those are like, that's like Powder would say, dude, man, whoa, that's a light color of shade there. Wow.
Be whiter than a Trump rally.
Oh, God, no. I think we're actually getting to metaphysical science here as far as white as this would be. Croquet typically played with groups of 2 to 6 people and is a great sport for the entire family. We provide the court and the equipment necessary for you to play. I'm going to have to go try that. We mock, we ridicule, we're evil people here. We go after hipsters, we go after Edina. But you know what the truth is? This is fine living here. This is fine living. I can't golf to save my caboose, by the way, on a real course. If it's got a clown face in the middle of it and it's AstroTurf, I'm great. But actual grass, you want me to actually put a ball into a real hole like I'm on a green? Doesn't work that way.
So I got to say, I think Edina needs this course because the USA has some catching up to do in the Croquet World Championships.
Really?
It's been all South Africa, England, and Australia winning.
Don't they have cable? Excuse me. Let me rephrase that. Don't they have sex? No. I'm sorry. I shouldn't. The same countries, England, Australia, and South Africa?
Yeah. The U.S. has one runner-up. That's all they've got. Otherwise, it's been those three countries winning it every year.
The Tri-Nation, the Tri-Nations would be New Zealand. The three countries that are known for rugby also are known for croquet. Okay. When do they do this championship?
Does it say when the
world championship for croquet is?
I can tell was this year's was in Wellington, New Zealand.
Wellington, my God, yeah, we were so lucky to get down there. The embassy suites was booked, so we had to go stay at a Holiday Inn, Kiwi style. But good news, we were able to rent one of those hobbit houses, and we stayed in there. It was delightful. I just kept whacking my head everywhere I went. Gardens were delightful.
Paddy Chapman is the best player in the world.
Paddy, you gotta be. This is making it up.
No, I'm not.
Paddy Chapman. All right. Croquet it is. I gotta go try that place. That's over Centennial Lakes. Like I said, it's the old quarry over there. And by the way, nothing makes those people more uncomfortable than reminding them what that used to be. You got your nice little man-made lake and your green little mini golf. This was a quarry. There were blue-collar workers here at one point. Let's let forget that. Still, though, not as what Paddy, what was
Paddy Chapman?
Paddy Chapman, still not the goofiest story I've got today. Police say a man initially arrested for boating while intoxicated ended up fighting with officers while naked in the St. Croix River. 60-year-old.
Oh boy, 60.
Speaking of whitefish, 60-year-old Jerome Spile of Cottage Grove has been charged with 3 counts of battery of law enforcement officer, 3 counts of wrestling with an officer. Hudson Police Chief Jeff Williams said the ordeal began when Seipel, S-E-I-P-E-L, was placed under arrest by Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources warden on July 31st. He didn't want to be under arrest, the chief explained, so he fought with the DNR warden, jumped overboard. Good thinking. That's when Hudson police officers showed up to help. Williams said that it was Seipel unwilling to get into the DNR's boat. Officers got creative, first using a fish hook to grab Seipel by the life vest he was wearing and pull him into the boat. Body camera footage shows a struggle ensued between the officers and Seipel, who lost his life vest later and then his pants in the struggle. This is a 60-year-old man doing this. He's got no life preserver. He's naked. He's intoxicated, Williams said Tuesday while watching the body camera footage. So our guys are getting pretty concerned that if he goes under, you know, what's the next step? Well, officers called for more backup. How many boats did we have on this river for this guy? Nessie doesn't need this kind of coverage, for goodness sakes, and we get more pictures of him. His attention was drawn to our patrol boat. That is when coming, they seized the opportunity to grab a kind of hold of him and try to get him in the boat. Williams explained, he said, both the officers and Seipel came away from the encounter with scrapes, bruises, cuts, putting an end to one of the most bizarre arrests Williams has ever seen. Once again, a full moon over the St. Croix. 952-946-6205. What has happened to us, America? 952-946-6205. We'll take a break. Come on back. It's the Matt McNeil Show on AM 950.
This is Dan Brooks, Senior Vice President and Financial Advisor with RBC Wealth Management. For the past 19 years, I've been managing wealth for individuals, institutions, and corporate retirement plan sponsors. Throughout my career, I have seen common traits in successful investors. They include the courage to be diversified, the willingness to work with a professional, the discipline to follow a plan, and patience. I welcome the opportunity to help contribute to your financial success. Call me at 612-371-2396.
Hi, this is Matt from the Green Home Doctors. Did you know approximately 80% of our homes in our area are not sealed and insulated properly? A typical home has air leakage equivalent to that of a large open window. Green Home Doctors has treated thousands of homes with their special diagnostic equipment and can prescribe the appropriate remedy for your house. Stop air conditioning your whole neighborhood this summer. Call today and take advantage of rebates from Xcel Energy and CenterPoint Energy. Visit greenhomedr.com.
Get your vehicle's summertime service done at Rudy Luther Toyota. The last thing you need is a breakdown while on a road trip or heading to the lake. Regardless of where you've purchased your vehicle, Rudy Luther Toyota is your number one destination for auto service and repair. Routine maintenance or a larger repair, easily schedule your appointment on their website, RudyLutherToyota.com. I trust them. They're fast, courteous, and they do the job right. Get your vehicle summer ready at Rudy Luther Toyota, 5 miles west of downtown Minneapolis on 394.
I'm John Peterson, and at Ferndale Market, we are proud to provide our free-range turkey to local restaurants and natural food stores. One of our partners since the beginning has been Birchwood Cafe, and we're excited to announce a new partnership product, the Birchwood Turkey Burger Patty. Made from their popular turkey burger recipe, using our antibiotic-free turkey and Birchwood's local and organic ingredients. Put an end to bland turkey burgers. Find this and all our Ferndale turkey products at your local co-op or natural food store. Visit ferndalemarket.com.
This is Pat with PJW Automotive in New Brighton. I've been in business long enough to know that if you want to stand out, you better be the best. That's why I've assembled a top-notch team of automotive specialists who do the job right the first time. Bringing your car or truck to PJW Automotive is an investment in the future of your vehicle. Try us once and you'll see it's worth the drive to PJW Automotive. One exit north of 694 on 35W and online at pjwauto.com.
AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. Now I'm getting people sending me photos of weird British sports. Oh, that's good. This is exactly where I wanted to go today. Thanks. Also, I want to give Lori credit for going down the path, which we all should be aware of. I highly doubt that this would be a rapscallion case on the St. Croix River if that man was black. I mean, how if he would have wrestled with police, they would have shot him, and everyone would be calling in saying, see, it was justified. He should have done exactly what the officer said. He should have done that. You know, it's if you're going to be consistent, and then call up the Hudson Police Department and ask, why didn't you just shoot the guy while he was in the water? That would have probably been the fastest way. He's fighting with cops. Come on, man. He knew what he was doing. Come on. He was drunk. He was dangerous. If you're not saying that, well, then you're a hypocrite. If you really are, seriously, I will stand by that statement because, you know, sometimes you get situations like this where how many officers were wrestling with this guy? How many times did he disobey officers? Well, if he was black, he would have been shot.
Do you think they used that San Diego maneuver? Remember?
It could have been the San Diego maneuver. I don't know. It clearly wasn't. I don't think. Okay, can I just say this? How did you get the pants off the guy with a boat hook? I mean, that is not an easy thing to do. I mean, it was the guy upside down in the water and you're like yanking the pants off his legs as he's just, his feet are in the air? How much of him was above the water line at that point too? Well, it's, you know, the training that you receive. Let's talk a little bit before we get into Stein, because we're going to get into the national stories from yesterday quite a bit with Stein in just a moment. But I wanted to make a point about something. But first, a quick little story. A few years back, I'm talking about maybe 15 years ago, I was approached to be part of a group that wanted to present Minneapolis-St. Paul as an Olympic site for 2020. Now, this was before the Viking Stadium was built and some other, you know, other facilities were in the planning processes at that point. And so we actually, and this was a legit group, and then we met for a few times over in St. Paul and went over some ideas and kind of, you know, threw around things. And it was interesting. And I mean, Minneapolis-St. Paul would be a great place. I mean, a guy did a little bit of a presentation on having the yachting competition on Lake Superior. And boy, that actually sounded really nice. But you know, at the end of the day, one of the things that became clear is we weren't going to get this bid because the room was filled with a lot of people who thought that the glory and honor of the whole thing is what was, they were going to be up on the opening ceremony sitting right next to Yoko. Right next to Yoko on the, here I am. You want me to light the torch? Great, I'll run up there. No, 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 no. You organize, you're part of something like this on this level. You're the guy that while the opening ceremony is going on, you're hauling a Ukrainian, you know, bobsledder who's got vomiting and stomach sickness issues to the medical tent. That's what your job is. That's what the people that really make these things work are the ones you never see because they're always working and they're behind the scenes. You get a few figureheads that go on out there that pat themselves on the back, but the reality is the people that really make these things happen are not the people you see on the podium. They're the people behind the scenes. And there was a lot of people that wanted to get the glory of all these events, but they didn't really want to do the work. And I think that that's why that kind of blew up. But needless to say, it was a learning experience. And it's been something which I've taken with me because you can't just expect the glory without the work. Yesterday in Ohio 12, looks like the Republican might have won this. Now, there's a lot of positive here. But there's one number that just keeps whacking me in the forehead that just is inexplicable when it comes to the Democrats. Yes, compared to 2016, that same House race, they're only 2/5 of the same amount of Republicans showed up. Basically, they had 250,000 people vote Republican in that district in 2016. They had only 100,000 people vote this time. It was a massive drop off in voters. But the Democrats last time around had 112,000 people vote Democrat in that district in 2016. They only had 98,000 vote this time around. That means they had 13,000 less people vote this time than they did in 2016. This time. What was not important enough for that 13,000 to go to the polls? I'm not quite sure. If they would have shown up, the Democrats would have won that race handily. And I'm not talking about a percentage, whatever the Ohio 12 percentage of the 110 million people who did not vote. I'm just talking about the people that did vote. 13,000 of them did not go to the polls yesterday in Ohio that voted Democrat. Stop with the social media memes. You're doing stuff on social media. You're not doing anything. You're not doing anything. Stop it. Stop taking a Sharpie and writing on a piece of cardboard and holding it over your head because you know what you're doing? Nothing. You're holding a piece of box over your head. Stop wistfully yearning for heroes of film and movies and books to come riding on in to save you. Those people aren't real, for God's sakes. They're not. You have a good candidate. You had a good candidate there. A real human being. If you're a Democrat, I don't care which district you're in. I don't care which district you're in. You've got three questions to ask everyone in your district. Three, everyone. One, are you registered to vote? Two, do you know where you need to go to vote? Three, do you need a ride? That's it. There's no rocket science. There's no mystery here. Stop with the theatrics. Stop with this pageantry, this self-grandizing pageantry that people put out there saying, I did something on Twitter. I did something on Facebook. I posted a picture on Instagram. You didn't do squat. You didn't do anything. And that's on the Ohio Democrats. There are a lot of things you can take away from that. I mean, if you're a Republican, you are scared to freaking death. This is a +7 Republican seat. They outspent them 3-1, and that's not including the dark money. And they barely squeaked by, barely. And that still is not a guarantee. There could end up being a recount here. If you want to do something, then do something. You hear me most days talk to a Democrat. Many of them are outstate. Go help them. Knock on some doors. Don't make excuses. Make a phone call on their behalf. Write a check. Ask, do you need anyone that needs a ride next Tuesday to a primary site? Ask every one of your friends, are you registered to vote? Are you ready to vote? Do you know where you're going to vote? The Republicans are banking on the Democrats' apathy. And it's such an evil apathy that the Democrats have, because it's not real apathy in its traditional form. It's this desire to have that Mr. Smith goes to Washington moment where we're all marching down the street, arm in arm, we win, we're the winners. Like there's a finish line. There is no freaking finish line. There is no finish line. Every 2 years, we're going to have an election. The reason why we got our cabooses cleaned in 2010 is because we thought there was a finish line at 2008. We had Barack Obama got went one. We're done. We're done. We don't ever have to worry about any other election ever again. There is no finish line. So you fall in love with this dream, and when it comes to real world effort, it just doesn't happen. That's the apathy. That's the horrific apathy. It's nefarious. It's just, ugh. Are you registered to vote? Do you know where you need to go to vote? Do you need a ride? Ask every one of your friends. Start hammering people on election days. Do you need a ride? Do you need a ride? When are you going to go vote? The only way you're going to solve this problem is by getting people off their cabooses and getting them to the polls. That is the only way you're going to solve this problem. And until you do that, you're going to have more Ohio 12s where 13,000 people who did vote in 2016, who are supposedly angry, supposedly fired up, supposedly they'd had it with Trump, decided that watching Breaking Bad on Netflix was more important than anything else. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. When we do come back, Jeff Stein joins us. We will talk politics with him. It is the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
What kind of a jackass would let an animal pick their insurance? Did you really think a lizard could save you money on car insurance? Would you let a duck pick your health policy? Insurance can be a zoo, but this is ridiculous. What you really need is an insurance agent that isn't looking out for the insurance companies. You need Cheryl at Array, an independent agent with 30 years experience looking for the best rate possible. Quit monkeying around and call 763-504-3067. That's 763-504-3067 for Cheryl at Array, representing you, not the insurance companies.
Hello, this is Ellen Krug from Hidden Edges Radio. When I'm not on the radio, I'm standing in front of audiences training about diversity and inclusion and on how to be welcoming to others who are different from us. More than ever, employers and organizations need professional diversity and inclusion training. I can offer that training through my company, Human Inspiration Works, LLC. I'd love to make your workplace or organization more welcoming. For more information, go to humaninspirationworks.com. Thank you.
We need Richard Painter in the United States Senate. I'm Mari Pokanowski, and the former president of the DFL Feminist Caucus. Our democracy is under siege by the Trump administration. Foreign influence is unchecked as politicians exploit power for private gain rather than for public good. The corruptive influence of money in politics makes government unresponsive to the people. For 25 years, Richard Painter has been speaking out against corruption on Wall Street and in Washington. Now, we need him fighting for us in the Senate. He'll fight foreign-owned mining companies seeking to pollute our waterways. He's not taking any PAC money and will fight against money in politics and corruption on all levels of government. He'll fight to initiate investigations and hearings for the treasonous behaviors of President Trump. This is a unique candidate. Please join me in voting for Richard Painter in the DFL primary on August 14th.
I'm Richard Painter, and I approve this message.
Ad prepared and paid for by Painter Minnesota.
Brending Electrolysis on Grand Avenue in St. Paul has been a leader in permanent hair removal for people of all skin types and backgrounds for over 30 years, celebrating diversity and priding themselves on finding the right treatment plan for each client's individual needs, regardless of race or gender. Services include electrolysis, body waxing, facials, microneedling, and permanent makeup. Book your 60-minute complimentary consultation, including a 15-minute treatment today, for beautiful, lasting results. Visit BrendingElectrolysis.com.
AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. Once again, thanks, Todd Colet, for sponsoring AM 950 this week. Once again, his band is Just Folk. The song is Protest to Survive. There's a link to it on the Twitter feed and on the Facebook page. Twitter is Matt McNeil Show, and on Facebook, it's Progressive Citizen X Matt McNeil Show. Thanks very much, Todd. We do appreciate you sponsoring. If you'd like to sponsor AM 950, 952-946 952-946-8885, 952-946-8885. There was one really great story of voter turnout yesterday, and that was in Missouri. This anti-union bill got hammered down. That was a good turnout story. That's the number you want to see. I mean, turnout is important, and like I said, when you look at the Democrats on Ohio 12, when 13,000 of them less show up than they did in 2016, don't tell me, they're there. You got to get those people to the polls, for God's sakes. This is not new voters. That's just the 13,000 that voted in 2016 that did not vote, that were the difference in this election. That is the key. And by the way, we did have someone call up and say, I need to get a ride for primary day. We put out the number. We gave that person the number for the DFL. We'll see if we can track down an actual specific number.
Yeah. She was specifically asking, for the Minneapolis DFL. But I'm sure there are actual, groups that do give rides.
I think a lot of campaigns on both sides of the aisle actually will help someone out if they need to get to the polls. So, I would ask, maybe call the DFL. They might be able to drive you in the right direction. If they don't have they don't do it themselves, they might do it there. Jeff Stein is our national and presidential expert. He's a noted author. You can find his books at Common Good Books in St. Paul, totallyiowa.com, iowawatch.org is the public service show he's responsible for down in Iowa. It's exceptional. And of course, he's joining us from KXEL in Cedar Falls, Waterloo. Hey, Jeff.
What?
Did we lose you already?
He said, "Well," and that was about it.
Did we lose him? Is he still in the line?
Oh no!
There you go.
I hear you. Yeah, I was just saying, there's nothing much to talk about today. Apparently, I was right.
Well, there the people. That's that deep state, man. The one point I made this in just the last segment here, and Jeff, and you can chime in on this. We're going to break down the fact that the Republicans are in really big trouble this upcoming election cycle from the results we saw yesterday. But at the same time, that Ohio 12 race. They had, 112,000 Democrats show up in 2016. They only had 98. That's 13,000 less Democrats that showed up in an age when they're there. Now, granted, their fall off was nothing like the Republicans. The Republicans lost 3/5 of their voters. They had 250,000 people show up in Ohio 12 in 2016. They only had 100,000 people. So it was a far bigger drop down. But once again, the Democrats are the ones that are supposed to be the excited base, that are supposed to be the ones that's there. And here are 13,000 people that voted the last election that just didn't show up this time around.
Yeah, and it's really easy if you're on the right to say, well, it was a special election and they threw everything they had against us, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah, well, you had every defense available.
Yep.
And so you can't just chalk it up to that. And the fact that there are so many tight races in these other states in Republican primaries, it just shows a fractured party, doesn't it?
It does. And I've actually gone a few times with the guys in Ohio. And it's like, wait a minute, you had a 3-to-1 ratio of spending in that district. You had Trump there a bunch of times, plus Pence, plus other people showing up. And we don't even count the dark money that was in that race. And you still barely held onto a +7 Republican seat. I mean, in Minnesota, if that's your threshold, I went and did the numbers already. That means Minnesota 1, Minnesota 8 should stay in the Democrats' hands, plus Minnesota 2 and 3 should go to the Democrats. That's Jason Lewis and Eric Paulson seats should end up in the Democrats' hands as well. The only one that's safe is Emmer's seat in Minnesota 6. I mean, this is, they can talk a lot about, we had a good day. Primaries are not general elections, and you just barely squeaking by in a district that you won by 66% last time around is not exactly a ringing endorsement.
Well, no. And again, I always caution making broad statements from individual races. But having just said that, Look at the individual race in Ohio, as we have been doing. Look at the tightness of these other races and the fact in Kansas, well, we'll just have to see how the votes are counted next week when these last few come in by Pony Express or whatever it is. I mean, it is not a level of unity. It is not a level of confidence despite, I mean, look, you can tweet victory all you want, but that doesn't mean it really is victory.
The Republicans yesterday, there is a like you said, you can't take an individual race and apply it nationally. One thing you can definitively do nationally, the numbers for Republicans showing up was down dramatically. And that is something yeah. that's a lot of people are saying. You just look at the number of Republicans that showed up in these primary states. They're just not there.
Well, and again, you can excuse it by saying, well, it's summer and vacation time. Well, it's summer and vacation time for both parties. It's kind of like the team that blames, you know, rainy weather for a bad athletic competition. It rained on both sides of the field, mm-hmm. you know. So if your people are only motivated to vote when the weather is nice and they're not too busy doing other things, that's not going to be a bellwether of victory when the other side is heavily motivated. Now, the concern is, can you keep Democrats motivated through the primary season and into the general election? Because there's some point at which you just get fatigued. And that's why I think this next 90 days is going to be full on both sides of just absolute turbulence, because in that way, they're going to keep their respective bases all stoked up, mm-hmm. because that's the best way to guarantee turnout, other than having, you know, a good Uber service at your beck and call, and you folks and others, you know, making sure people can get to the polls and all that. You have to have all of those efforts, but you've got to have a motivated base, and that base is tired, because for really both sides, I dare say the left more than the right, but really for both sides, ever since the 2016 general election, they have been in full-time election mode. Because on the left, they're protesting, they're marshaling their resources, they're resisting. Okay, can they hold on till November? People on the right haven't had it quite as bad, because they've been sticking their head in the sands and ignoring things a lot of the time. So I'm not sure they've expended as much emotion. But that's just one caution I would mention for those on the left. It's good to have these kinds of victories, but you're nowhere near the finish line.
Well, and you've already said there is no finish line. You got another election 2 years after this one. You know, there's no finish line. There is just you're keep going. You know, you talk about strategy. If I'm a Republican, I am looking in every one of these races where there's been a primary, and I'll just take Minnesota for example, where you have a gubernatorial DFL primary. You've got Senator Tina Smith's seat. There's a primary there with Richard Painter, Attorney General, some other races as well, some of the U.S. House races too. And if I'm the Republicans, everything I'm banking on is getting as many Russians as I possibly can and as much money, and basically trying to run with the campaign ad slogan, they didn't pick my candidate in the primary, so I'm going to stay home. Because I think that's about the only strategy I think they have. The Republicans themselves, I'm seeing this at least in Minnesota, it might be the same in Iowa, is that they're not door knocking like they used to. They're not going out there because they can't really defend this stuff, especially in the rural areas where these ag markets are in jeopardy. They don't want to go out there. They don't want to have to explain why the health care is not cheaper and better coverage. They don't want to go do this. And so the only option they've got, their best game plan, if they're a Republican, is to try to get as many Democrats to stay at home as they have had success with in the past few elections.
Well, for example, in a state like Iowa, where we have major statewide races this year, like governor and, you know, secretary of agriculture and a lot of the statewide, not all, but a lot of the statewide offices are up this year. The congressional candidates, the incumbents, are kind of just doing their own little thing, but not really doing much because they're depending on the halo effect from the state party in these statewide races. So it's really a unique situation, Matt, where the national candidates, the ones for federal office, I should say, are almost divorcing themselves from the effort because they're just counting on bringing out their basic core and hoping that the state party can leverage enough. We used to call them straight ticket voters. That's no longer allowed in this state. You have to actually vote for each race. You can't just fill in one oval. But they're just hoping that there's enough inertia from that to bring them over the finish line, because to your point, they don't want to have to defend a lot of the things, including, frankly, forget the White House. How about their own inability to do a farm bill, their own inability to pass a federal budget? Now, members of the House say, well, we've done our part. It's up to the Senate. Okay, fine. It doesn't matter, because as a citizen, I'm tempted to say, do you work in Washington? Okay, you're out. Don't try the nuance of saying, well, I'm in the House. We did our part. I'm blaming the Senate. Well, that's like, you know, the team, you know, blaming the shortstop for the error. I mean, it's a team or it's not a team. And, you know, they're bailing a lot.
Well, and you just sort of said it. I mean, you were the fools to then promise them we're going to get a whole big agenda done if you put the Republicans in charge completely. You have said this. Now you're trying to, well, we on the third Wednesday of every month, we seem to get go together and, you know, and go out and play, you know, basketball. You know, that's not exactly, you know, what you promised. Looking quickly to wrap up yesterday, looking at the national trends, you're right. There are some national, you know, there are some close races. Utah, Texas, and some of these districts are closer. And in this Ohio district, which was once again should be a slam dunk for the Republicans, they did win it there. That is something that they can at least take out of that. The reality, though, is that when you look at that Missouri union vote, holy cow, there is a success story of getting the Democrats out to the polls, and a sign that I think that even independents, moderate Republicans, old true Reagan Republicans, per se, they basically, they came out in the polls and said, I think enough's enough is with the fight against unions. And in a toss-up state, which generally has been going more Republican than Democrat, to see that outcome, I got to imagine, especially Missouri, is scaring the daylights out of the Republican Party down there.
Well, I'll turn it the other way and say, do you think Claire McCaskill has a big smile on her face?
Oh,
today?
Yeah. Yeah, she does. She's very the Democrats are alive in Missouri, that's for sure.
And again, you got to worry about peaking too soon.
Yeah.
But and again, I'm not trying to throw cold water on what should be a good day for people down there celebrating. But the fact of the matter is, you know, there is very little downtime. You've suggested none at all. But you certainly, and I'm not sure you're wrong at all, but I mean, here we are, and it's what, like 90 days until the election. You have got to, if you're going to take the rest of the month of August off mentally to get the kids back in school, that's fine, but you better come back after Labor Day for that final home stretch and really get things done, because otherwise it becomes hollow. I mean, so what if you win the primary, or so what if you, you know, really deliver a vote when it's not, if you will, taking out someone else. Mm-hmm. And that's what they have to be sure that they can electorally do.
Republicans are scared today, aren't they?
I don't think it's any different today. Okay, so this is the only reason I hesitate. I think there was apprehension going into yesterday. Even the people with the party that I talked to who are reliable optimists and supporters no matter what, they weren't terribly confident yesterday in everything. And so I think that they're just, I don't want to say walking on eggshells, because that's not the same connotation as what I really mean, but they're just very cautious about everything. So I don't think that yesterday changed anything, but it sure didn't improve it. It was already a bad mood for them.
Yes. We'll take a break. When we come on back, let's talk about some of the finest people associated in our government today. Wilbur Ross and Chris Collins, both now are the latest two individuals to be in pretty big trouble when it comes, especially Collins. He's in real big trouble. Jeff Stein joins us once again talking politics. 952-946-6205. Take a break. Come on back. It's the Matt McNeil Show on AM 950.
As with their Eat Street sister on Nicollet Avenue, the Bad Waitress at 700 Central and Northeast is committed to working with local purveyors and serving organic food whenever possible. But the Northeast location is a bit more grown up. This finer diner has a full bar serving craft cocktails and a brand new inventive dinner menu, including the chicken and waffle, with roasted half chicken, bourbon pickled jalapeno corn waffle, and a roasted poblano gravy. Check out the Northeast menu at thebadwaitress.com.
Hi, this is Charlie. My dad is Minnesota's wildly popular and handsome radio host, Matt McNeil. Did I say that right, Dad?
Perfect!
When I got my driver's license, my parents let me drive a Sienna from Rudy Luther Toyota. I love it. It's easy, comfortable, and hauls all my baseball gear. And my parents love the safety. That's why they wanted me in the Sienna.
Thanks to Rudy Luther Toyota, my son is safe as he begins his driving adventure. We're a two Sienna family thanks to Rudy Luther Toyota. Visit them today in Golden Valley at 169 and 394.
This is Lori Swanson. Minnesota's a special place. As your attorney general, I've stood up to powerful interests to keep it that way.
Lori Swanson.
From taking on drug companies that inflated prices and forcing a corporate polluter to clean up our drinking water, to taking on Donald Trump as he attacks what we value most as Minnesotans. Now I'm running for governor because there's too much at stake to let Donald Trump and the special interests push policies that hurt our state.
Swanson for governor.
As governor, I'll continue to defend health care for everyone, and I'll lower the cost of health care and prescription drugs. I'll work to keep our kids safe in school and defend our schools against drastic cuts that jeopardize our kids' futures and our state's economy. I've been proud to be your Attorney General, and as your governor, I'll keep standing up for what's right and get things done for Minnesota.
Lori Swanson for governor.
Prepared and paid for by Swanson for Governor.
AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. Programming brought to you by EatLocalMinnesota.com. Lowry Hill Meats is the restaurant of the week. Stop on by for their great handcrafted sandwiches. Fantastic food. The roast beef is fantastic. And as well, they got a full butcher shop there. 1934 Hennepin Avenue in Minneapolis. It's Lowry Hill Meats, the EatLocalMinnesota.com restaurant of the week. Jeff Stein joining us talking national politics. Jeff, Chris Collins, there is insider trading. There is stupid and then there's stupid. He apparently... This Australian biotechnical technology company, he got an email while at the White House congressional picnic stating that the company had failed to get approval for their one drug that they made, which meant that their stock was about to cavitate. This was insider information. This was not public information. He immediately, while at the congressional picnic, calls his son on his own phone and tells him, sell everything, basically. That's why they let him out in cuffs today. He's in big trouble.
Well, hard to run for re-election. You can't shake many hands when you're in handcuffs now, can you?
No, not really.
No, it's as you said, they're stupid and then they're stupid. And it's the sort of thing where certain individuals, once they get to positions of power, no matter how they got there, they start, I don't want to say believing their own press clippings, but they get to the point where they're just not touchable. Mm-hmm. And you see it time and again. You know, it's one thing to be a crook. It's one thing to steal, et cetera. But sometimes the level to which it goes, it just makes you shake your head because there's, you know, and again, as a former criminal defense attorney, there are times you'd get a case and you'd say, there is nothing I can say with a straight face before this jury. And these are the kinds of cases where you look at it and you say, are you kidding? All the stupid in the world coalesced in your head during this time, and this is what I have to deal with. Oh, great. I mean, it's just what it is. It's ridiculous.
It highlights to me, I think, this feeling that there are definitely some Republicans who feel as if they're indestructible, that there's, you know, that with it, with, sure, whether it's the benevolence of the party or of Trump, or if they just feel their district is safe, that like I said, who does this? I mean, this is not exactly Walter White here. This is just it's amazing to me that the guy would get this email and immediately call on his own phone while at a congressional White House. I mean, like you got to believe that there's someone's listening in on some level, whether it's an enemy of the country or the defenders of the country. I just it blows the mind how this guy, how Collins thinks. I mean, I think he's done. I just don't see there's any way in the world. He says he's going to run. He's just not going to run talking about this at all. Good luck on that. But yeah, I can't believe Collins is going to last too much longer.
Well, you know, he can get away with the old, well, it's a pending charge, and so therefore, you know, on the advice of my counsel, I'm not going to discuss, oh, blah, blah, blah. I mean, it's, and isn't this what we always see, Matt? Immediately, when hand is caught in the cookie jar, they say, well, I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to quit. I'm going to, wait a minute, that poll shows what? I'm out.
Yeah.
Or the key donors call, and then all of a sudden, oops, I've decided I need to, in the best interest of my family,
focus on the defense of the scurrilous chart, you know, blah, blah, blah again. Mm-hmm. It's gotten sad. It's not just ridiculous. It's flat out gotten sad. And I don't think in this case it has anything to do with Trump. It's just a matter of the arrogance of some of these people once they get a whiff of power. You know, it's just mind-boggling. And if you're somebody who voted for this person all these years, whoever it is, doesn't have to be just this guy, you just look at it and you say, are you kidding me? Yeah. You know, the trust is long gone. Total betrayal.
Wilbur Ross, Commerce Secretary. Now, I don't know if you remember, earlier last year, Forbes, I think it was, came out and said, the number he says he's worth, he's not worth. They've done the research and they can't find the money that he says he's worth. So there's been some kind of question about his finances, but there's a report that came on out that he basically, stole, you know, cleverly reciprocated into himself $120 million in undeserved profits over the years. That's no chunk of change either. Now, granted, I think that he's somewhat insulated because he's part of the Trump administration. The Republicans are never going to investigate a Republican. Well, they allowed the EPA to go as long as they did. They're not going to investigate Wilbur Ross. But needless to say, I think that if the Democrats get in charge of the House, Wilbur Ross is going to be high on the list of investigations there as well.
And here's the only reason I might disagree. If it becomes politically expedient for Trump to have a diversion, a handy diversion like Wilbur Ross, great. But it's going to be virtually impossible for this president to get anyone to work for him, because anybody who has worked for him since this campaign began has been looked at under a microscope. And even if we don't find things tied to Trump, we find a lot of other things, a lot of other shady deals.
Yeah.
And if you are somebody who has any skeleton in the closet, if you even have a closet, you're not going to want to work for Donald Trump, because he may escape everything, but you sure as heck are going to be at the Gray Bar Hotel, and I don't think that's where you want your lodging.
And exactly, and this is a big problem, because they can't, even if you don't have any problems, getting a job after this is next to impossible because no one wants to hire you. I mean, there is a real employment shortage in D.C. working for the government because no one wants any part of this administration.
Well, it's so inconsistent. You know, never mind any of the scandals. How can you affect and carry out government policy when you don't know what it is from minute to minute, because of the fact that you have to keep up with your Twitter account and keep hitting refresh to see what the official government policy is?
Well, and the fact is that Trump, you know, in that one tweet sort of said, I'll throw Trump Jr. under the bus. No one in that administration is safe. And I mean, even Pence would be like, okay, at this point, you know, I better dot my I's and cross my T's.
Well, I mean, you got Charlie doing ads with you there, yeah. And I can just imagine how he would respond if all of a sudden Dad just started ripping on his driving record the same way Senior did to Junior in Washington. Not going to happen, from what I understand about Charlie.
Let's put it this way. Anytime anyone passes gas in the car, I blame the boy. That's what it is. That's it. Charlie, what are you doing?
You don't have a dog with you to blame? You don't have a dog?
No, not really. And he's got a diet.
You don't need one.
Jeff Stein is our presidential. I know it's hard to believe. He's our presidential and national expert. Find his books. Find his books at commongoodbookstotallyiowa.com. Jeff, we'll talk to you next week, okay?
Be well, sir. See ya.
Take care. Richard Painter in with Doug Padgett for the next hour right here on AM 950. Make sure you stay with us. We'll be back tomorrow with a brand new show. Until then, see ya.